Welcome, welcome back, everybody, to the 90s Mixtapes. My name is Pat, joined by my lovely co-host, Jen.
Hello.
Jen.
Yeah.
How are you feeling today?
Okay, I feel good today.
All right.
It's Patty's Day.
It is Patty's Day. Are you drunk?
No, because I'm an old person.
Okay, there's still time, right? There's always time to catch up.
That's what Jameson is for.
Jameson? Jamesons? Is that what you're trying to say? Jamesons? Do you say Jameson or Jamesons?
That's what Jamesons is for. Jameson?
Jamesons. Irish Jameson. Whiskey. How about you do this one? That's what Telemore Dew is for. You ever have Telemore Dew?
That's what Guinness is for.
But I feel like...
I think I probably have. I mean, I was a bartender at an Irish bar, and I did a lot of shots with people.
You know, like we mentioned, we're recording this on St. Patty's Day, and I feel like it's hard to get drunk. I've gotten drunk off Guinness, don't get me wrong. But you usually need to add some sort of liquor in there, too.
That's why you throw your Jameson in there.
Okay.
Jameson.
And Bailey's,
right? I'm having a really hard time saying this word. Yes! You do a little... Bailey's and a little bit of Jameson. Yep. You throw it in your Guinness and you pound it before it starts curdling, which is so disgusting. But if you drink it fast enough, it's delicious.
Unless it's in a pitcher of beer, and then that's just a wild decision.
Like, what is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Who,
think about that now and go, what?
Who chugs a pitcher of beer? Was that Guinness or was that like a Dr. Pepper shot? I think it was a Dr. Pepper, right?
Or no, have it was you done, Guinness.
No, okay, great.
But it usually wouldn't be the full thing. It would be like a half of a pitcher.
And then like a rocks glass full... filled with Bailey's and Jameson.
Yeah. And that would usually be the end of the evening.
And that's why we've drank enough drinks and we're sober on St. Patty's Day night.
So having said that, we did watch some TV today, though. We watched some TV from March 1994. Kind of a slow month, I would say. No shows left the air, which was kind of surprising. A lot of times shows do leave. But we had... I would say three kind of big events that happened. Two of them behind the scenes and one of them actually in front of the camera and a couple different shows that we talked about. So
cool.
We watched Duckman, an episode of Duckman, 5 minutes of Duckman.
Like we watched like 5 minutes and you were like, yeah, I'm done watching this.
How much Duckman did you actually watch?
I didn't really,
in real life?
I didn't watch Duckman. Yeah. I just remember it being on, and I remember that it was a duck with glasses and cigarettes. I remember he was, like, a cigarette-smoking duck. I don't know anything else about Duckman. I don't know, like, where he lives. I don't know who he's around. I don't know his life. I don't know what his occupation is. I don't know if he has a duck lady. It didn't seem like he did.
You know, this is going to be a common trend up until, like, Family Guy premieres. Because, and it's funny, because I'm sure Family Guy is part of this whole thing, but... This is like the dark times before the internet was really able to connect people that like niche things. So like people liked this kind of animation. People liked Duckman and had a few seasons. But it doesn't go like viral to stick around forever, you know?
Right,
and it's just one of those things I think of like The Critic. I think of like a bunch of different cartoons. Yeah. And I'm like, I wonder if those cartoons would have stayed around like longer. But it's so difficult to determine because it seems that everybody looks back at them a little bit more fondly, a little more nostalgic. Even like the OG Ren and Stimpy, stuff like that. But I just think, like, you know, Family Guy was the one that they brought it back from the dead. And they're like, look how many people all over the place really want this thing and want to watch it. Yeah. So I remember the beginning Family Guy got canceled when I was in college.
I remember.
And then they brought it all back and it's still going now. And it's just one of those things. Duckman just wasn't for me. It wasn't for me then. It's not for me now. You know, when I was doing research, they were talking about how people, you know, were into it. I think that eventually they, like, brought it back or made a movie or something. Like, people really into Duckman wasn't my thing.
Was he just like a duck?
He was like a private eye, I think. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, I think it's a Duckman private dick for hire or something. So I think he was like a private detective. But I might have seen an episode or two over the years. But
well, you
I just
thought it was
like
crazy
it.
When I said that it was a cigarette smoking duck. You're like, what? Because you're like, are you thinking about Howard the Duck? And I'm like, no.
So when you were explaining what you thought, we were going to see. And I'm like, no. Because in my mind, I'm like, well, you're talking about Howard the Duck because the way you're describing it. But yeah. Also, I'm like, the animation wasn't what the animation was until I saw it. And then I'm like, yes, I remember the show.
Yes.
Like, in my mind, I thought it was more like The Critic.
What was it on?
I don't know.
Hold on.
I think it was on USA Network, maybe?
Ah, that sounds familiar.
Like, I feel like it wasn't on, like, you know, Channel 5 or something, and I don't think it was on
MTV. I have it. It was on USA, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that and Weird Science.
Weird Science premiered in March. Huh.
Now, that was my first experience with Weird Science, this show on USA, which was obviously a little bit tamer, but same exact idea. Like, what would happen if that movie was a show?
What is it, just they make a girl?
Yeah, but they don't just, like, make a girl. It's, like, they, like, create her in the internet. You know, like, this isn't, like, you can accidentally create somebody with, like, an algorithm computer type person, right? And it's the girl of their dreams. So, in, you know, there's a movie of it, obviously, and it's just a movie. Mm. And she has, like, some powers and some different things because, obviously, you know, whatever you need here in order to tell this comedic, you know, coming-of-age tale.
Yeah.
The TV show is, like, kind of the same thing. Almost, like, just on a small scale.
Did you watch this?
I think I feel like I've seen an episode or two because I think back when I was a kid, like, I think wrestling would come on. So either you'd see some of these previews or was on somewhere around there that you would, like, see a commercial for it or something. So I think, like, I watched it or it was, like, after, you know, it could have even been after the hour-long wrestling or before or after. But I feel like somehow that's all connected to it because I'm like, I think I've seen Weird Science before. And I'm like, I remember it. I remember the actors. I remember, you know, kind of like that old school, like, three-camera sitcom type deal. But
you know what? I never think about how many cameras are going on.
Well, three sitcom camera. It's like your Raymond or whatever it is where they're on, like, a set. So there's one camera on one side, one camera in the middle, one camera on the other side.
Oh.
So whereas, like, in the 2000s, you did more, like, documentary type stuff.
Like The Office.
Like The Office. Then, like, but Modern Family's like that. Like, other ones keep going like that versus that traditional, like, Cheers, you know? Three cameras rolling back and forth.
Gotcha.
Coming at each angle. So your sets and stuff are kind of...
I should know that. I feel like that's very common knowledge.
Yeah, well, that's the term. Just, you know. The show Ellen premiered, which will be a big deal in the 90s because the Ellen that we all know now was not necessarily the same Ellen. Well, she was always the same, but she was a sitcom star, right?
Yeah.
And it was before the television show, and now she was a comedian, then a sitcom star, before then, like, the daytime TV show version of Ellen. So that'll be interesting. That'll be enjoyable. We'll probably cover that later on down the line.
Yeah. But, she's just, what is she like? She like run a book. I watched this.
Runs a bookstore.
She runs a bookstore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember I watched this. And then in 97, she comes out in one of the episodes and people like acted like she, nuked an entire country.
Yeah. People just couldn't understand it.
Or just like killed a baby on TV or something. People couldn't understand any of it. Believable how people reacted to it. Like, it's unimaginable now, in today's day and age, that anyone would react the way people reacted to that back then, you know?
Well, it was just one of those things
I remember it was such a big deal. Like, she was, like, did something bad or something.
It was just one of those things that was horrible. Extremely taboo, but was working its way around, right? And so, you know, now you don't really... There's so many different characters. In television that are either played by someone from the LGBTQ plus community or, you know, are a character that is like, it's just not, this yeah, was just like, unbelievable it's for just people unbelievable to wrap their mind around.
They couldn't they believe couldn't that this, it. They, it was not, yeah, it was like,
they're like, this show you've been showing me is
like
a
she
lie.
Lied.
Yeah. And like, it's like, how could you really be like that? And blah, blah, blah. And you're like, I don't know.
Like now know? It's like people come out all the time and I feel like, at least for us, it's, I mean, I don't see it as a big deal or that people, I know that it's still, I'm not saying it's an easy road that
people
walk down, but I'm just saying like the way that people react, and again, like this isn't for 3 years, but the way that people reacted to that, not even 30 years ago, it's crazy. Well,
that's
crazy.
It's crazy, again, crazy. One of these things that you're just like, ma'am.
I even remember high school, like the few gay kids that were in high school, boys and girls were like ostracized.
Yeah.
To a degree that it's like unfathomable these days, you know?
No. The whole thing just doesn't make any sense when you try to put it into today's context. But
sad.
That's what it was. But it's moments like this, obviously, that make that happen.
Yeah, that help bring upon change.
So let me ask you a question, Jen.
Okay.
Do you know Seth Green?
Yes.
Do you know Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yes, neither personally.
Can you name a television show that they were in together?
A television show.
How about Birds of Paradise, which also premiered this month?
No.
It is a show, Birds, spelled B-Y-R-D-S.
Okay.
It takes place in Hawaii.
Oh.
And the Birds is a family.
So, like, that's a family name. I've never heard of this show. I've
never heard of the show, never anything. One season, couple episodes. But then when I scrolled through, like, the people that were on there, I'm like, what? I'm like, huh? So.
Oh, man, I wish that we watched an episode of this.
One of those throwaway type shows. I couldn't find it.
Oh, you did? You looked for it?
No, it's just not. It's, you know, one of these shows that gets made and doesn't go past the first season on a network. And you're just like, oh, okay. I guess this is, you know, why they premiere it when they premiere it. But
interesting. Interesting.
Let's get into...
Do it.
So the beginning of the month, pretty big for those that kind of follow television kind of like in the news and like what's happening. Not so much for the actual TV, but like the MPAA ratings, I believe that's who it is, or whatever the TV version of it. They start labeling their shows, and they have like 36 different codes about like what is on the television show. Mm-hmm. And like HBO and all these other ones start doing it first. You see it now all the time, right? In the top corner, it says, you know, TVMA, LSV, right? LSV, language, sex, violence, you know, codes for all the different things. We take it for granted, but this is when it started. So TV shows before then never had it. I remember it sucked because if like a R-rated movie had like V, S, N, I was not allowed to watch it.
What if it just had a V?
V was fine. V is violence. BN, brief nudity, also okay.
Yeah. Because
it could just be someone quickly getting out of the shower
but
or something
N,
like that.
You
N
don't know.
N is nudity and S is sexual. SS is sexual situations, I believe, or S is sexual situations. So you know.
Yeah.
Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme's getting it in this movie. So I can't watch it unless I'm watching it with my parents who then have to cover my
but
eyes.
Then, like, do you really want to watch it with your parents?
I mean, I'm like 11, so I kind of want to watch the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Like, I don't care as much. I'm just saying that's what went down for us. It mostly affected, I mean, it affects every, you know, thing because it's telling you what the TV is going to be. But
yeah,
it starts with the pay-per-view, like the pay channels, the pay cable channels, the HBO, stuff like that. And that's where it was really more of a big deal. Because if there's violence on FX.
What if there's a GV? Graphic.
Well, violence. Graphic violence, yeah. Well, that would be like Autopsy or like one of those shows sometimes.
I don't think that's considered violence.
Well, because I don't think they know how to code like the dead person. And they're talking about murders and stuff. It's like stuff like that could have that, like the reenactment.
Definitely
stuff. Or they might show crime scene photos. Yeah. But you know what you're getting into. But like I said, it's more for the pay channels that it affects more. Like if I'm watching FX and it's like TV, LM, you know, MALSV, I'm like, okay, I mean, still cable. Like, people aren't going to get naked, right?
Yeah, do you remember when, I think it was NYPD?
Sipowicz's ass?
Yeah, like Sipowicz, yes.
People lost their mind about that?
Yeah. Like that's the ass we all need to see. No offense. But isn't that funny? And they were, like, cursing up a storm. Remember when South Park had, like, a certain amount of curse words it could say?
Yeah.
Per, like, episode.
But that's not till later. That's not now.
No, that's in like 98 or something.
Yeah.
Around
well,
that time.
I mean, this is when this all starts because it's funny that you're talking about that because the main story we're going to get into has to do with this rating system, right? But before we get there, little tease, just want to mention Viacom and Paramount joined forces together. Do you know what they formed, Jen?
Piacom?
UPN.
Oh.
So I'm like, that's a new network.
Did not know that.
That when that starts to go on the air, it's because they merged together. So I was like, oh, UPN, okay. I'm like, I guess that kind of makes sense, you know? Because as we mentioned many times, during this time period, you didn't have a ton of channels, but all of a sudden these other channels start to come in. I'm like, oh, UPN, okay.
Yeah.
When we were talking about F-bombs, though, and the amount South Park was allowed to say, we did watch on the 31st, Madonna was on David Letterman. That was the big news story that came out.
And she was on David Letterman.
So we watched the 20-minute segment that was on there. Apparently, she claimed years later that part of what she was doing was to kind of rebel against this censoring that was coming in. She does reference this at some point by mentioning, you know, David Letterman's kind of telling her stop dropping F-bombs. And, you know, they're just as they're bantering back and forth. He's basically like, you know, people don't want to hear that kind of language in their bedroom at night.
But, she's
like,
yeah,
why?
But,
it's your bedroom. Like, what are you talking about? You
but know? She was like, why do I have to stop? Like, why is it? But and he's just like, I felt like he didn't know how to answer it. Like, he was like, well, because people don't want to hear it. Like, he didn't know what to say because he couldn't be like, because the network makes us. Like, it's just part right. of American television. He couldn't really say that, I feel like. So he was, because, like, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, watching it, I mean, look, when you watch an interview, when you watch David Letterman have banter, it's completely different than me, than I've seen anyone else kind of do it. Because it seems like he's uncomfortable. It seems like he's angry. But then also it seems like maybe he's in on it. And you really just don't know.
You really
can't
tell.
One way or the other.
But this was like, I don't know. The thing about this interview to me wasn't the curses. It was just awkward. Like, she was being like kind of short with him, and like, it was just weird. Like, it wasn't flowing well. It was just a very awkward
interview. But I mean, as she mentioned and referenced, he had been making tons of different jokes about her sex life and her personal life over the years.
Yeah,
that was kind of like, she was, I mean, obviously, like, coming here now to defend herself. She was a little angry. Right? And it definitely came off very standoffish in
yes.
certain ways. But...
And I get that. But almost like it kind of... It was giving, like, why even go on there? You know what I mean? That's kind of like... I don't know. Because it kind of felt like she was just like, I don't even want to talk to you. You know what I mean?
Of all the things that I've seen that I didn't see as a kid, right? So I didn't see this as a kid, but now that I've seen this, and now that I understand a little bit about the context and then knowing who the people are, it is such an of the time moment with of the time people, right? Because if you're looking now, I mean, Letterman's been retired for such a long time, and Madonna has not been what Madonna kind of is. Like, is it would almost be like if, like, I mean, like, Taylor Swift went on, like, I'm trying to even think. It's almost as if she went on, like, Fox News, like, during a morning show and was giving them a hard time because they're always giving her a hard time. Like, it was, like, this, like, level that, like, it didn't make sense unless you knew the people who were involved, right? If you were living at that time, you know that David Letterman was consistently making these jokes. You know that Madonna was all over the news and all over, you know, Page Six and all these other things for her relationships with basketball players. And she had just come out the year before. She came out with her coffee table sex book, which I remember that.
I remember that.
As a kid. Like, I remember that coming out. That was all over the news. So there's just all these things where she's constantly pushing the envelope and pushing the border. And at the same time, he's an up-and-coming comedian in his time slot, right? Because right now you're almost having, like, your own war, like, late night wars. Because just lost, as we mentioned last year, he just lost out on getting the Tonight Show. So, I mean, he's starting his own thing. And apparently this interview, this segment, just got viewed by so many people, and it was a huge ratings boost for him. It's the old adage again, too, like, you know, no publicity is good publicity. Like, because of this insanity that was going on this episode, more and more people were kind of flocking to the show. So that worked out really well. And again, it's just, I feel, I don't know, maybe you could jump in, but it's just like, if you know these people, like, if you know Madonna, this is when she was at, like, her height. I was like, oh, she's like 35. And you, because I think of, like, almost like kind of Ray of Light Madonna, right? You remember that? And, like,
yeah,
when in, like, the early-ish 2000s, when she was, like, trying, like, rapping, like, reinventing herself and rapping back into, like, culture, because that's when I was, like, old enough to kind of really appreciate it, but, like, understand, like, oh, okay, this is, like, I'm watching the music and they're trying to gear this music to me. Because obviously, sure. You've heard all the other songs over the years.
You can't not hear Madonna songs.
But it wasn't like...
Yeah, I feel like this is like...
Yeah, I had no attachment to her in 1986, you know what I mean?
It felt like her super sexed up era, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I think of Madonna, the Madonna that I like is a 1986 Madonna. It is Material Girl. It's borderline. Just Like a Prayer. Like, that's the Madonna that I connect to. The Ray of Light Madonna, I don't. No. It's not her. Like, it's just, it didn't resonate with me.
Right, but that's not what I mean. What I mean is, like, you're talking about connecting with an artist's work where you were not there at the time supporting the artist, right? So you are listening to it later. At this moment, all of that stuff had happened, and people that are, you know, our age now had an opinion of her and had all this. Like, we didn't really have that. We heard these songs that are on the radio because they were on the radio all the time. She's a pop star.
Of course.
But I had no idea, like, okay, you've had this whole career, you know, career arc. Oh, you didn't know?
See, I knew that because I really liked her when I was a kid. Like, I liked Material Girl. I liked that music when I was little, like 5 and 6. Yeah, like, I just
knew
her
as, like, the sexed up version at this point. But again, it's just one of those things that I feel like is such a 90s moment because it's like 90s.
Which, people. Like, I don't mean in a bad way. Like,
No. I mean, like, this is like all these people are cresting. These people are coming, you know, coming into their own.
When did Vogue come out? That has to be her biggest hit, you would say, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm looking it up.
I feel like Material Girl, maybe.
No, I think. I think that's after. I feel like I really do. Maybe I'm wrong. 1990. Nope. Yeah, 1990.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, her Vogue came out in 1990. On her album... Oh. It's a soundtrack album, I'm Breathless.
I don't know.
Interesting. That's interesting. We just missed that, right? Because Material Girl... Hold on, I need to know when that came out.
Okay.
Oh, it just gave me Vogue again. So what did you think about this interview?
I thought it was hysterical.
It was funny. It was a little, I thought it was a little awkward, but I enjoyed it. I wasn't mad at her.
I thought it was hysterical because I really felt that Madonna was her most true and authentic self in this interview.
Well, that's true, for and sure. I
thought it was awkward, their banter, because David Letterman was really trying, at least from what it seemed with the interview, he was trying to interview her as if she was a celebrity, and she was basically like, I don't give a fuck, I'm just here.
Right.
And I'm not going to kind of play along. Like, it was almost like she didn't, you know, a lot of times, obviously, a celebrity's going to have a few minutes that they're there, and, you know, the host is going to try to, you know, bat them. Talking point questions, right? Like, hey, we want to talk about this story that's in the news, that story that's in the news, you know, promoting whatever your movie is, all that kind of stuff. This was just not like that. It was very awkward. I guess she gave him her underwear, told him to sniff her underwear.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
But that's the thing. Like, I feel like you can't, well, you can do whatever you want, but it's a choice to be mad at someone for, like, talking about your relationships and your sexuality a lot, but then go on to a show and hand that person your dirty underwear. Like, it's kind of like mixed messages. You know what I mean?
Clearly this is a work though, right?
Right. I think it is. I feel like it probably,
you know,
is.
Or at least 90% of the way. Right. So, I mean,
no, I can see her being, cause you said she was offended cause he introduced her as like, Tupac's girlfriend or something, or like
the
girlfriend of a
no
someone who dates celebrities,
something along those lines. Yeah, like his exact thing was like she had 80 million copies sold, and you know, it's like a, hold on,
I mean, it was entertaining, I would watch it again, but I do kind of feel like if that was something she was mad about, I don't really get why, but I don't know that, I just,
no, well, apparently she was hanging out with Tupac at the time.
Yeah.
And so I guess she had said that she was just in, like, a certain mood. Like, she was hanging out with him that day, and she was just in, like, a gangster mood. That's what she said. Like, I'm going to go in there and go gangster.
That's funny.
This is what they said to introduce her. Our first guest tonight is one of the biggest stars in the world. In the past 10 years, she sold over 80 million albums, starred in countless films, and slept with some of the biggest names in the entertainment industry.
Right. See, I don't think she'd really be upset about that. I don't believe that. But just so you know, I did look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Material Girl was on her second album, Like a Virgin, and it came out in 1985.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, like, and that's what I'm saying. I remember being, like, in preschool and, like, listening to Madonna. Like, I loved Madonna when I was a little girl because I thought her songs were so catchy and fun. And, I mean, Yeah. So I think I did have the awareness at this point that she had a long career and like was evolving. Like it seemed like she's one of those artists that's constantly like evolving. And
well, I mean, I know she had a long career, but what I'm saying is like it's if you pluck someone like myself, for example, let's say this is like an awakening. I'm awakening to something that's happening. If you pluck someone right now who has like no attachment to Madonna at all or David Letterman at all, they would not understand her level of fame and stardom.
Absolutely.
And his level of importance culturally for maybe like almost a counterculture comedian type. Like,
yeah.
Because he's like the opposite of, you know, kind of like Jay Leno, right? Yeah. He's more edgier.
Mm-hmm.
He's more quick-witted.
Yeah.
He kind of creates, he's like blazing his own style. So between the two of them, it's like a really important moment for where their lives go. But by the time you're right now, 30 years later, neither one of them is in the public eye like that. You know, this moment is happening with completely different people. It's you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's what made this really interesting. Because to kind of watch it with no context of the people, it's a little strange. But knowing who they are makes it just make so much sense, right? And just be such like a 90s moment. Especially the idea that you're just cursing and it's all, you know, blotted out in the way that it is. Like, I'm just not, you don't watch any of these shows. I mean, we don't really watch these shows anymore at all, but I mean, you don't even see any clips or anything that are anything remotely like this. It was clearly a moment that they just let run, right? They didn't cut it. They could have not aired it, right? They could have just done something, right? I mean, realistically.
Well, I mean, I don't know how well that would work. I feel like that would be, at least this is publicity, right? You can mute her out, like you said. You can.
Well, she refused to leave the stage, so his second guest didn't even come on.
Wait, really?
Yeah, and then eventually.
Who was his second guest?
It was some guy who did like the world's, I think like some shopping bagger, like bag stuff really quickly. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. He never made it on air. He wasn't allowed on. And then the crowd was yelling at her to leave because she wouldn't leave.
Yeah, that's awkward. I feel bad.
So it's kind of like, I don't know. It's strange.
Weird.
Asking Dave if he smoked endo. I mean, like, it's just strange. It's just like
it was strange. It was strange. I recommend everyone out there watches it.
It's a total 90s time capsule moment. Because if you really don't know, if you're somebody that's, you know, under 30 and you're watching this now, maybe even 35, you really don't kind of know all the people.
Yeah.
This is a total 90s moment. She's wearing, I mean, I mentioned her outfit. I'm like, this is straight 90s clothes, right?
Combat boots.
Yep. The whole thing.
And like, I forgot about black-haired Madonna. Like, short, black, slicked back hair.
Yep.
I'm thinking she's going to come out as blonde Madonna because that's what I think of when I think of Madonna. Nope. Black-haired Madonna.
And I mean, again, it just can't be overstated how strange this is.
It is pretty strange.
In terms of any of these kind of procedurally type, you know, late night talk shows, to see a moment like this, to go, and I'm just watching it, and you're like, you feel uncomfortable. I don't normally feel uncomfortable when I watch these shows, right? But I felt like uncomfortable, even though this moment had happened 30 years earlier. I'm like, what's going on? Is that's like her underwear? Like, what? I don't understand.
I mean, clearly, she didn't really get... I mean, maybe she did. I don't know. You know,
it doesn't
maybe
matter. She did. It's just like you're here. She probably like, did. You're here and you're like... You're so used to these things being so polished, right? Like, here's the star, the musical person. Like, this polished thing, to see this other side of it. Like, how the sausage is being made is just crazy.
This is also where she famously endorses peeing in the shower, which I've known is something that she has said. I just figured it was in, like, a written interview. I didn't realize it was... I didn't realize we were going to get it now.
Oh, yeah. Because it gets rid of athlete's foot.
Yes, and I remember I've heard that she says that, and I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's right. I don't know. I have no idea. But...
Somebody counted over 14 times or 14 times she drops the F-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I mean...
Yeah, like now it doesn't...
No.
Feel, but.
No. Now, the whole thing is just of its time. And highly recommend you watch it. We watched it on YouTube. It was available. It made me feel very nostalgic.
Yeah, me too. And I was even looking at, like... Obviously, she looks super young, but looking at Dave...
Mm-hmm.
Dave. Yeah, you know, like me and my friend Dave.
Mm-hmm. He's coming on next
David
week.
Letterman. Look, can you imagine? No, he looks so young.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, going through it and us talking about it, like he was on, you know, in that Conan slot. And now he lost, you know, to go do the Tonight Show. And now he lost that. So now he's starting his own show. So this is his own show, getting it off the ground. You know, the only thing I can really remember that's remotely like this is when Jimmy Kimmel starts like his own show in the early 2000s. Because everybody else took over for these guys that were already there and these shows that you already knew of that were on this channel. Like, it's pretty cool to like see this moment happen in the, like, the birth of his show. It's pretty crazy. Madonna's going to go on there a few more times throughout the years. They're going to quote unquote make up. It's good.
Oh, that's
it's
cute.
Good. And it's great to know that it becomes a running gag. It's just something I didn't know anything about, right?
That makes me happy.
Because I can imagine...
Was this her first time on his show? Oh, yeah, his show just started, right?
Yeah. I can imagine, like, being a kid and seeing, like, a few years later, let's say she was going to be on it. Even as a young, you know, young adult, seeing she's going to be on it, not understanding, like, this other thing had happened. You had nowhere to go to see it. If you didn't see it, you don't see it, right? You might have read about it in the newspaper, and then that's it. There's nowhere to go until now.
So weird.
Yeah. It's not like it just it's not like it just goes viral on the internet and everybody's watching it and everybody's talking about it and everybody knows what you did and then there's a different narrative for it. It's like this happened. If you didn't see it, you don't even know what happened.
Thank God for YouTube.
Yeah, well, thank God for YouTube to show this stuff like backwards, but I mean it changes it. All this stuff, we talk about all this, but I think streaming is the one thing that changes and has changed, like, our culture more than anything, even more than the phones, just because it's just, like, you can see this, like, this video, you know, all this stuff being available to stream on your phones, to watch at home on demand and even record, because these moments can just get passed around.
Yeah.
And this is just something I never knew about. I never knew this happened. No. I was floored, like, watching it. I'm like, this is crazy.
I never knew that it happened. Wild.
Never seen it before. We're doing this research, so it's pretty cool. Highly recommend you guys check it out. Anything else you saw or anything else you wanted to talk about with March TV?
No, there really wasn't much that there really wasn't much that I saw.
I mean, this was a cool moment.
This was a cool thing. Originally I was like, oh, let's talk about the Ellen incident, but really that happens in 97, so we're not going to talk about it right now. We just mentioned it briefly.
Yeah, the show
I really premieres. Did like her sitcom. I feel like my dad and I used to watch it when it first came out.
I feel like I saw feel it a good. Few times. So
you're not a sitcom guy. But it was cute. Little bookstore.
No, I'm not really a sitcom person. I like the couple ones that I like, and I think it's just generally speaking, which I think is the thing with most sitcoms. It's the supporting cast for whatever reason. You get drawn in by some of them.
I remember when I first met you, you were really into How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, because I really liked the whole supporting cast. Yeah.
That's a good show. That show was entertaining. That's a good show.
And that was probably actually one of the only sitcoms that I watched basically from the beginning. And as what happens with, well, that and The Office, but as what happens with most sitcoms is, at least I feel anyway, as they get later on, they lose the kind of vision and then it becomes difficult. Because you're trying to tell these stories, right? You usually have a beginning. Usually when you're starting a show or something, you have like a roadmap of where you want to go. And sometimes if you pass that or you just have to keep going, you can't get there, right? And then it just makes it tough. You know, the later seasons of lots of sitcoms are a little not as great. But in the beginning, I really like that show. I even think of The Office. I think of The Office all the time. And to me, The Office is the show, and I know it's not real, but I think about it when I think about it in my head. I always think about it as just with being with Michael. Yeah. And there's like 3 or 4 seasons. And like we watched those. At least I did. I watched that live when it was happening every week on Thursday. There's like 3 or 4 seasons where they're like not in it.
Yeah.
So.
I still like the later versions of that show. But the ones with Michael are like the classic Offices. Yeah.
It's like a different show. Like once he's not there. To me anyway.
I still think it's funny and entertaining.
Absolutely.
Some of the characters are still who they are, like Dwight. But, like, yeah, I mean, it definitely... But a show's going to have to do that at some point. If it lasts long enough, it's always going to reach a point where you're like, oh, and that... Would I say that jumped the shark? I don't think I'd say that. But it definitely changes the tone. The tone definitely changes.
You know what we should consider doing over the summer? We should consider having, like, a sitcom year in review where we talk about some of the sitcoms that came out that year.
You know, I love sitcoms.
At the end of June. Yeah, maybe watch a couple episodes. What some people say is the best.
Yeah.
That might not be so bad because some of them are better than others, you know? You never know. You see, like, sitcoms. Late sitcom stuff. Like, when I think of Cheers, I always think of, like I don't think of Kirstie Alley's character. I always think of Diane, like Sam and Diane.
Yeah.
I think about Kirstie Alley. I've seen lots with her character, but like I was thinking.
Didn't she die?
Yeah, she did, I think.
Like kind of recently, right?
Yeah, that's.
Like, oh, that's so sad.
Unless she didn't, but.
If she didn't, this is getting cut, but I think she did. Yeah, she died 2 years ago. Less than two, like a year ago.
No. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, she died of cancer. That's
oh, she had cancer
stuff.
Well, on that note, on that not great note.
Coming back after you cut this, right? Because you got to cut that little part.
You want me to cut?
Probably should. That was a little tough segue to get into playing Trivial Pursuit.
We're gonna play some Trivial Pursuit.
I think we have to. We've been doing that the whole time, right? Wrong.
I mean, I now am the proud holder of an orange pie piece.
Okay.
So we're tied. We tied on this right now. We each have one pie piece. Mine's orange, which is trans, and yours is yellow. Why are you throwing dice at me?
Oh, I was just trying to get you to
violent.
Violence in the air.
Okay, let's do this. It's going to be a short episode. Roll again over there. Do I want orange, do I want trends, or do I want important? I want trends. Orange.
Trends. The year 1992. What cologne did Fabergé hype for males irked by women's rights with the slogan, "Men are back"?
Brute?
Brute is correct.
Oh! Was that blue or is that roll again?
Roll again.
Oh, yeah. Put me back on that orange, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. The year is 1992. What wide-legged jeans brand was Milo Riva inspired to create on his forays through East LA?
Jenko.
Jenko is correct. The Jenko jeans. Are they going to come back?
They have been trying to.
Yeah. I don't know if... I really don't know if there's... If they're going to make it.
Oh, pink. I mean, I don't think that they're really making it. But also, wide leg jeans are coming back. And, listen, I'll be honest with you. I had one pair of legit Jenkos. And they were, like, khaki. They were the most comfortable pants I've ever worn in my life.
We are up to Jen's purple pink pie piece.
Yeah, it's oops, which is mishaps. I don't know.
The year is 1992.
Okay.
What U.S. president made history by barfing in the lap of Japanese Prime Minister Kuchi Miyaka?
George Bush Sr.
That is accurate.
Yes.
Two pie pieces.
Two pie pieces. Oh, we covered that. We covered that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess put me on blue. It's either way I go, I'm reaching a blue.
How many timeouts did the U.S. basketball dream team call during the entire 1992 Olympics?
Zero.
That is correct.
Damn. Today's my day, huh?
You're Rain Manning it. Green pie piece.
Okay, that's important. News stories, headlines, blah, blah, blah.
Your year is...
You don't have to take a different card. Right? I'm just trying to tell you how to run your life. You can give me whatever card you want.
The year is 1992.
Okay. You're like, I probably should have.
Which celebrated attorney headed the team that got Michael Milken's sentence reduced in 1992?
Johnny Cochran.
Alan Dershowitz.
Okay.
Now, I was trying to see, now that we know, like, if they're... That gets you different years on some of the cards.
Oh. I'm just trying to...
No, it's fine.
No, it's fine. Listen, honestly, I probably should have let you because there's no way I was going to get that.
Yeah, I don't even know what your other option would have been, but... You got, what, one pie piece there?
So yeah, I got... I have a pink pie piece that I need to put
pink. In. I'm one. I'll take an orange.
I'm going to beep it up. This one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The year is 1993. We have an orange, which is trends. What Nickelodeon spawned confection sold 8 million splats in 1993?
Slime.
Gack.
Gack.
Shit, but I also would have said slime. So, man, that's a bummer. Gack. You had a gack?
Yeah, there was just, it was like slime.
I know, I always wanted it, but I never was allowed to have gack.
Someone in my family got it, but. Anything else you want to add this week, Jen? It's pretty slow week here, but...
No, man. I mean, it's Paddy's Day. It's different than it used to be, you know?
I guess. I mean, I'm having a good time. I don't know.
I am having a good time. Doesn't mean it's not different. Actually, I'll be honest. Better than it was when I worked at an Irish bar.
Yeah.
Different. But then also, I would make so much money on Paddy's Day.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, you know...
It's just what it is. But
I think it's reasonable.
You know? I have nothing. It might be regional. I have nothing else to add to television, but I do want to talk about Paddy's Day when we were kids.
Okay.
Next week on the Potpourri episode.
Stay tuned. All I got to say
is... I think we have some more Tanya Harding.
Oh, we do. No, we definitely do. There's, I mean, I'm just going to say green bagels. I tried to find one this morning. Couldn't find one.
What the fuck, man? Excuse my language, but what?
Well... We'll save it for next week.
We also went to four stores before we found the absolute last Irish soda bread in town.
We'll save it for next week.
You know what?
Potpourri. We got nothing.
Yeah, I don't even know. We'll I haven't even researched it yet. Yeah, this was fun.
We Madonna. Are the 90s mixtapes. If you like what you heard, you can email us at beckyleftthechat@gmail.com. At 90s mixtape, right?
What on? It's 90s. No, it's BLC mixtapes on Instagram. BLC stands for Becky Left the Chat. I know it's confusing. But yeah. 90s mixtapes was taken. And I couldn't take it from that person. I don't have the abilities to do that.
We can't.
We haven't really used any of our platforms in forever.
Someday.
But there they stand.
They're there.
Barren deserts of our social medias.
Or maybe, you know, one day we'll just wait it out. We'll wait out all the social medias to just get scooped up by the government and be gone. Who knows? 1984.
Oh, my God. Side note, listening to 1984, don't even kid like that. That shit is freaky. Yeah, thanks for listening. If you could rate us, that would be amazing. If you like us. If you don't, maybe don't rate us. But... We would appreciate any followers, subscribers.
And we will be back next week, regardless, to discuss some potpourri.
We'll be back probably later this week is really the goal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We know this is running a little bit late, but we love you guys for sticking with us. Bye.
Bye.